I'm Rochelle O'Driscoll, and you are listening to Beyond the Headlines on KUNR Reno Public Radio. Today on Health Watch, we will be talking with Dr. Wei Yan, Professor of Physiology and Cell Biology at the University of Nevada School of Medicine, about his current research on reproductive health and, more specifically, his studies regarding fertility. Welcome to the program, Dr. Yan.
Thank you, Rochelle. Thank you for having me here.
Dr. Yan, can you first tell us what is meant by reproductive health?
Well, it's quite a general term and basically addresses all conditions and functions that are related to your reproductive system. For example, fertility control and infertility, contraception. And for women at reproductive age, for example, the premature birth, and for men, for example, the testosterone deficiency, erectile dysfunction, and prostate diseases. And basically, it covers everything that related to your reproductive function.
So you and your research team are presently conducting research on fertility. What exactly are you studying?
We're working on mainly two areas. And so one is the infertility, more specifically how to help infertile couples become fertile. And the other area we're working on is to develop non-hormonal male contraceptive pills.
So how prevalent is infertility?
Generally, it's about 15% in the U.S. population, but this number applies to other countries in the world as well. So literally, it's one out of nine or 10 married couples at their reproductive age and experience infertility.
Have you discovered any major breakthroughs?
Yes, we made some discoveries, and it's really hard to translate those findings from basic research to clinical applications, but we are making progress. And so I'll give you one example. A couple of years ago, we identified a gene that is essential for sperm production. And it turned out that later on we find out a compound that can target this protein, leading to temporary reversible male infertility. That's quite a promising candidate for non-hormonal male contraceptive pills.
So you're looking at both the cause of infertility as well as potential treatments.
That's right. We all know that currently, if you're infertile, you go to the doctors. Most of the time, they give you a diagnosis of infertility. But most of the patients, they care about what causes the infertility and the reasons behind their infertility conditions. So that's exactly what we're working on. We're in the process of developing diagnostic tools that can tell exactly what the genetic mutations or epigenetic mutations that cause the infertility conditions in patients. And accordingly, we're in the process of developing a new method to correct, if you will, the genetic or epigenetic mutations that lead to the infertility condition by correcting those mutations in the patients or in their offspring. By fixing the problem in their offspring, in their child, in their children, they're not going to continue to pass on the problem, the disease condition. And then, but most of the time, the patient said, can you fix me? That's a difficult part. So we're trying to develop something that we can fix the problem in the patients so that they can become fertile and that they don't pass on those disease-causing factors.
So is there a common type of infertility that you're looking at, you know, more than others, either in women or in men?
Yes, this is interesting. In clinics, actually, the most common ones, the most common diagnostics for the infertility is, we call it idiopathic, meaning unknown reasons of infertility. So if you're infertile, there must be a reason for that. And so we don't know the reason, just reflecting that our inability to tell why and how. So that's why we're working on the causes of infertility in both men and women.
And you're listening to Beyond the Headlines from Reno Public Radio. This is Health Watch. I'm Rochelle O'Driscoll, and we're talking about reproductive health. You had mentioned that 50% of all pregnancies in the world are unintended. It does seem that contraception is not really practiced worldwide.
Yeah, actually, it is practiced, and it's. But I think that this 50% basically, it's half the yearly pregnancies are unintended. It tells the current contraceptive measures are not sufficient to meet people's requirement in terms to control their fertility. So that tells that we need to develop more, better, safer, more effective contraceptive measures. So that's what my lab is working on.
What I think is very interesting is the work that you've been doing regarding male contraception. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. So we know that in our society, women are taking a majority of the responsibilities of family planning. And so actually, based on my survey, and men actually are willing to participate, but there are only limited contraceptive methods that are available for men. So it's, for example, on this market, and we don't have a contraceptive pills that designed specifically for males. And so that's why my lab has been working on developing novel contraceptive pills that can be used by men and orally, and that can generate a temporary reversible infertility situation. And when you stop using the contraceptive pills, and then the men can regain their fertility. So there's our goal.
Have you been able to test them yet?
Yes, we did some preliminary study, and it's the results are quite promising. And so we're moving ahead and to the next stage, and basically study the drug safety and the metabolism and the toxicity, potential toxicity. So we're seeking fundings from the federal government, also from the private foundation. So we're getting there, but still a long way to go.
Well, you brought up funding. How has your research been funded to date?
Yeah, I've been here for 10 years and have been continuously funded by the NIH. And so just recently, we received funding from private foundation and the Templeton Foundation. So basically, we get this money to study the long-term impact of the DTT exposure on the overall health of offspring. So for example, if your parents, your grandparents were exposed to DTT many, many years ago, does that exposure have any impact on your overall health? So that's sort of like a transgenerational inheritance of environment exposure-induced disease phenotype. So we are very excited to get these grants, and so we're going to work on this in the next couple of years.
So is that environmental exposure then linked to reproductive fertility or infertility?
That's right. If you want to pass on any diseases, the only way is to go through the germline, meaning either sperm or eggs need to mediate this transmission. So that really comes into my expertise. That's why they involved me in this study.
What is your greatest hope for the outcomes of your research?
I hope someday, based on my research, we can develop diagnostic measures and ideally therapeutic measures for male infertility patients or female infertility patients. And also I'm hoping that someday we can develop some contraceptive pills that can be used by both men and women simultaneously, and so that they can take the responsibility of family planning together.
Well, thank you, Dr. Yan, for sharing your information today about the exciting research that you and your colleagues are doing to help men and women who have fertility problems, as well as your research on male contraception.
Thank you for having me here.
Dr. Wei Yan is a professor of physiology, molecular and cell biology at the University of Nevada School of Medicine. He has received numerous prestigious research awards from the Nevada System of Higher Education and other national scientific organizations for his continued research on reproductive health.